Romans 11. This is going to be more doctrinal this morning. And let's see, don't intend to have an invitation afterwards. Well, sort of, kind of, but Romans 11. But this is one of the great mysteries in the Word of God, and it's about the blindness of the nation of Israel. So I'm going to give you a lot of material. I may not take time to give you time to look up the scriptures with me, so we're going to kind of put it in a little faster gear than usual, which is fast enough. Romans 11:25. This is such a vital truth. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to realize how vital this truth is, and there are so many in America now that have forsaken this great mystery, and because of that, they are so blind in regards to many, many things in this Bible. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not ignore this mystery and help us to be good stewards of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a problem that's developing stronger and stronger in America, commonly known as British Israelism. And if you study law and are around patriots per se, you're going to find that this is quite a prevalent truth, British Israelism. Now notice Romans 11:25, there's a phrase, "I would not have you to be ignorant." That phrase is found 7 times in the New Testament. So there are 7 areas God does not want you and I to ignore. Not only that, you'll notice that this is called a mystery. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits." He said, "I would not be ignorant of this mystery." Now, we place the mysteries of God in 7 major categories. Now, the people who are British Israelites often forsake the other mystery of the 7 that is also an area we're not to ignore. Like I said, there are 7 areas in the Bible where it says not to be ignorant of. And there are 7 mysteries. 2 of the mysteries are 2 of the 7 areas we're not to ignore. Therefore, it makes it doubly important for us to get it. What is the other mystery and area we're not to ignore? 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, commonly what we call the rapture. You're going to find these patriots or British Israelites in this country don't believe in the rapture. Okay, and so this is the reason why this is because they have ignored the mysteries. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 says we are to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, and so we need to get this thing settled. Now, these are things that are overlapped as far as the area to not ignore, and it's a mystery. Now, both of these subjects are being abandoned now in America by Christians. Mormons are British Israelites. JWs are British Israelites. The Catholics try to steal the promises of Israel. And now in America, you got a bunch of white people who say that they are a part of the 10 tribes that went from Israel to Europe and have become the Israel of God. And it's getting so prevalent in America. It's getting very powerful. And I see why it's getting that way is because God is turning the entire world against Israel, setting them up for the tribulation, is what he's doing. Now, let's run this thing and try to... Now, it's being called also, another term that would go along with this is called replacement theology, where the church has replaced Israel. That's what some of them are doing. That's what they're teaching now. And here's the problem with it. If you get dealing with these people, you may discover what I have already discovered. Whenever you cross these people, you're going to find two things about them. They are ignorant and are conceited. Romans 11:25, lest you be ignorant and wise in your own conceits. And Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? There's more hope of a fool. Now, if you want to read correspondence, I have correspondence between myself and a teacher of this philosophy, emailed back and forth. It didn't last long. It was a piece of cake. You know, the guy, you know, his brain rolled out his ear and all that stuff. And it's so easy to get these people boxed in a corner. I kept asking, this fella in his beliefs says that he's Israel. So I asked him if he was Israel of Romans 11:26. All Israel shall be saved. And if he says yes, then I said, okay, are you Israel of Romans 11:25? Israel of Romans 11:25 is blinded. So I asked him, if you were blinded, how could you be saved? He would never answer that question. Now, I also have correspondence between myself and a follower of this belief system. Now, if you want to read it all, you know, you can read, see what happened. And I tell you, both of these people are nice people, but they're ignorant and they're stuck on themselves. They're conceited. And they are blind in other areas of Scripture. They may be saved, but they're blind in other areas of Scripture. Now, when you go to Romans, now, the reason why people develop this thinking is because Romans, the epistle of Romans, basically lays it out for us. Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 is the main thrust is the sinfulness of man. And he will throw in the Jews about their sinfulness. The reason why that is brought up is because in Acts 28, anybody who reads the Bible and follows the dispensations coming through, in Acts 28, you're going to find that the nation of Israel is blinded worldwide. Acts 28:28-29. So then Paul jumps into the sinfulness of man, Romans 1, 2, and 3. And then he goes to Romans 4 and 5, where he deals with the justification and the imputed righteousness when we get saved because of Jesus Christ. That's Romans 4 and 5. But even though we know that we're justified in Christ, Romans 6, 7, and 8 deals with our everyday life where we may say, well, I am justified in Christ, but boy, I sure do have a hard time with myself. Yeah. Romans 6, 7, and 8. So here's what a person's thinking. Okay, I am now a child of God. In the Old Testament, Israel is called the people of God, but now I'm the child of God. So what's happened to Israel? Turn to Romans chapter 9, and Paul answers that for us. You see, these people tend to think, well, Israel is obviously not right with God. We are right with God, so we are the people of God, and God has abandoned Israel. And so he brings that up in Romans 9, 10, and 11. Paul says in Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Look you there. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And right there, that British Israelite jumps right in and says, see, we are the true Israel, and the ones over there are a bunch of apostates. That's where they'll jump in and change the doctrine on you. Now, anybody who knows anything about history and studies banking, you're going to discover the Rothschilds. And you're going to preach about, and the Patriots know about the International Banking Institution, and they know who's running stuff going on, and so they'll get preaching about the apostates. Now, as far as this goes, look, if you would, in Romans chapter 11, Paul answers this question. Has God forsaken the nation of Israel permanently? Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Answer, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? He said, how he maketh intercession to God. Notice, he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That was then, and there still is a remnant today. Now, we realize, as far as doctrine goes, and this is where dispensations really help us out, because as far as doctrine goes, do you and I, being born-again believers of Jesus Christ, need covenants with our God? Technically, no. What would we need a covenant for? We have the new birth. You see? And in the New Testament, when, as far as our physical makeup goes, when you get placed in Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Today, where a person is saved, Jew is saved, the same way a Gentile is saved, and it's coming through a Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, I can say, and I don't have to backpedal like Jerry Falwell does, when he speaks about the Jews, well, they need to come to Jesus Christ to get saved. And I ain't going to worry about what the news media says. Now, a Jew today who is sincerely trying to follow the law. Now, obviously, we all know that they cannot follow it completely because they got no temple. But a Jew today who's sincerely, of a sincere heart, trying to follow the law, guess what the Lord's going to do for him? He's going to bring a missionary by them and show them how to get saved and come to the Jewish Messiah. And a Gentile who sincerely follows his conscience, as Cornelius, no matter what church he attends, no matter what church he grew up in, when a Gentile sincerely follows his conscience, the Lord is again going to bring some soul winner by and show him how to get saved. That's what Peter and Cornelius was involving in them. But what about this thing as far as Israel goes? Basically, what a British Israelite teaches is that the white race now is Israel, and the ones over there in the land of Palestine are Jews. We're Israel, they're Jews. And these people get to the point where they actually hate, completely tip-top down, the Jewish people. Now let's check our Bible out. If you would, look in Acts chapter 21, verse 39. Paul, we already read, he said he's an Israelite. We read that already. Acts 21:39, this same man, Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew. Looks like to me an Israelite and a Jew is the same thing. Not only that, Paul said in Acts 22, verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew. An Israelite and a Jew is the same thing. Same man, Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Over there, this same man who said he's an Israelite, who said he's a Jew, said in Philippians 3, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. As far as this book goes, a Hebrew and a Jew and an Israelite are all the same. Does that make the apostate Jews get the promises of the second coming and the kingdom? Not unless they repent and come to Jesus Christ. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they got cut off. As far as that goes in the Old Testament. Another great verse for you is in Jeremiah 34:9, where it says a Hebrew is a Jew. They're synonymous in this Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ in John 1:47 was called an Israelite by Nathanael, in whom indeed there's an Israelite, and in whom there is no guile. But in John 4:9, by the Samaritan woman, he is called a Jew. Right. Why? Because an Israelite and a Jew and a Hebrew are all synonymous. Right. And if you ever deal with these people, they may be King James carriers. Every one of them are going to change that book to make it say what they want.
That's right, brother.
Every one of them. Now, in the Bible, a heathen and a Gentile or a stranger, that's all the same, too. See, that's me, a heathen, a Gentile, and a stranger, but I got saved by coming to the Jewish Messiah. Now, we know that God has only established one religion throughout history, and we know that that's Judaism. Christianity is an inside thing. Now, what are the characteristics of the nation of Israel today? Romans 11:25, blind. They're blind. Go back, if you would, to Romans 11:25. If you go to Israel today and try to talk to these people about the Word of God, if you just stick with the Old Testament, they're not going to know much. Brother Jay will testify to that. Romans chapter 11. Now, whoever this Israel is, in Romans 11:25, they're blind. In Romans 9, they have the covenants. In Ephesians 2, they're called the Commonwealth of Israel. In Romans 11, they're jealous of somebody. Romans 11, they're jealous of Gentiles. You'll see that. And in Romans 11:28, they are enemies of the gospel. See, Romans, look at that. Romans 11:28, they are enemies of the gospel during the church age, but concerning the election, the word elect, the first time it shows up in the Bible is in Isaiah 42:1, and the word elect doctrinally is aimed at Israel as far as their service, not salvation. Election really got nothing to do with salvation. So Romans 11:28, right there in that one verse, you see at one point they're enemies, at the other point they're beloved. Now, isn't that something? That's Israel. That's the nation of Israel. These are the same people that persecuted Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. That ain't white Anglo-Saxon from England.
Right.
We didn't persecute Paul. Israelites did. Now, obviously, in this Bible, there is a difference between apostate Jews and believing Jews. And when I say, when I use the word believing Jews, I'm even referring to the believing Jews of the law. I'm referring to those too, because obviously we got to have some believing Jews today as they go in. If the rapture occurs today, there's going to be 144,000 in there somewhere. And that's a remnant. Now, look if you would in Romans chapter 9, verse 27. Here's a promise that he's going to have a remnant. Romans 9:27. And this remnant are flesh and blood Jewish people. Romans 9:27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now back up if you had Romans 2. Now here's the problem that a lot of these people face. In Romans 2 verse 28, they take this verse and they apply this to white folks in America. Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now we got a black famous Jew in America, Sammy Davis Jr., and he was a member of the Church of Satan for 12 years, and then he got converted to Judaism. Quite a character. But you'll see in the Bible there's a difference between apostate Jew and a believing Jew. Now I realize that when you expose the apostate Jews today, the ADL is definitely going to brand you an anti-Semitic. But we still preach about the sins of people. But that doesn't mean that I believe Israel is done. God, the promises of God, that Abrahamic covenant, is still Israel's, the land grant. And we still should pray for a peace of Israel. Now, when you read Romans 11, here's the basic gist of Romans 11 is the nation of Israel was blinded. He is warning Gentiles who trust Christ as Savior, you better not boast against the branches because you can get blinded too. And the ones who are blinded today are the British Israelites.
Amen.
They may be saved, but they're blind in a lot of areas. Now, in regards to these apostate Jews, Malachi 2, verse 1 through 8 shows that the nation of Israel, as far as the priest, they're basically blinded completely. In Malachi 2, God said, I'm going to spread dung in your faces. Malachi 2, you talk about letting somebody have it. Now, I want to give you some things on apostate Jews. In the American Hebrew magazine, September 8th, 1912, or 20, 1920, it said the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, ain't that something, of Jewish dissatisfaction, I'm reading from their literature, of Jewish planning whose goal was to create a new order in the world. What was performed in so excellent a way in Russia, thanks to Jewish brains and because of Jewish dissatisfaction and by Jewish planning, shall also become a reality all over the world. Apostate Jews. Winston Churchill called these Jews atheistic Jews. Anybody knows that the money changers were the one? Remember what the Lord did about the money changers? Matthew 21. Who are the biggest money changers today? International banking system, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers. You know who's the biggest opponent of Judge Roy Moore? A guy named Morris D., a Jew of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Isn't that an interesting title? Southern Poverty. I don't think he's real poor. Now, anybody that knows that the media is controlled basically by Jews today, apostate Jews. How did this occur? Marlon Brando said that on Larry King Live back in April 8th, 1996. He said, Hollywood is run by Jews, and he blames the Jews for exploiting stereotypes of minorities. Boy, the ADL demanded an apology, called him an anti-Semitic and everything. Well, let's read their literature and see what they say about it. Their literature, as far as the Jews, Encyclopedia Judaica, Motion Pictures. All the large Hollywood companies, with the exception of the United Artists, were founded and controlled by Jews. That's what they said. Now, how did this occur? Well, obviously, you know the stir that went up in Germany in the early 1900s. We had a bunch of Jewish immigrants coming into New York. And because of the language barrier, they couldn't really get much influence going on. But they got involved in the silent movies. Charlie Chaplin, a Jewish man. And they got a control of all the movies and TV. Adolf Zukor founded and managed Paramount Pictures. Carl Lemuel founded Universal Studios. William Fox founded 20th Century Fox. Louis B. Mayer founded Metro Goldwyn and Mayer. Harry Cohn founded Columbia Pictures. And the Warner Brothers, all Jews, founded that. David Sarnoff founded NBC in 1926. William S. Paley founded CBS in 1925. Leonard Goldenson formed ABC from an antitrust suit against NBC in the 1940s. All Jewish. You ever watch those names after a movie and see all them names, you know, Goldstein and Holstein and Hamstein and all these? I mean, never Hamstein, but I mean, it's all Jews through there. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal are all controlled by Jews. Time, Newsweek, U.S. News Report, all controlled by Jews. Owned and controlled by them. Michael Eisner, Jewish man. Owner of ABC, Walt Disney Company, ESPN Cable, Miramax Movie Studios. He's the number two today. Number one, AOL Time Warner. Gerald Levin. Jew, HBO, CNN, Warner Brothers. The era of Seagrams is fast coming on. Edgar Bromsman II, he owns PolyGram, Universal Studios, and MCA. Ain't that something? Shall we name some Jewish actors? Did anybody know this man? Eugene Maurice Horowitz.
Ooh, Mo, that's Mo.
No, that's not Mo. That's Michael Landon.
That's right.
Bonanza. And who is his daddy? Lorne Green, a Jew.
Ben Cartwright.
Ben Cartwright, that's right. Does anybody know Nathan Birnbaum? Lived to be 100-year-old, smoking cigars. One time he's God, one time he's a devil. Isher Danovich, Kurt Douglas. Bernard Schwartz, Tony Curtis. Joseph Levitch, Jerry Lewis. Daniel Kamisky, Danny Kay. Yurlich Weiss, Harry Houdini. Joan Molitsky, Joan Rivers. You'll have The Odd Couple, Tony Randall and Jack Klugman, both Jews. Harry Winkler, the Fonz, he's a Jew. Jack Benny, Goldie Hawn, Howard Cosell, all Jews. Peter Falk, Ted Koppel, Barbara Walters, Mike Wallace, all Jews. Dustin Hoffman, Paul Newman, Cary Grant, Seinfeld, anybody? And his sidekick, George, he's a Jew. Groucho Marx and his brothers, and the famous, of course, we want to make sure we honor the Three Stooges. Mo, as in short for Moses. All Jews. Rupert is he? Right. Okay, now let's get into the real apostasy of this. I had already mentioned New World Order. Now, the higher up you get into Satanism and the New World Order, you're going to get into perversion. Sacrifices of children. Perversion of children. Now, we remember reading in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 23, when Israel became apostate, they offered their children in sacrifice to the god Molech. And in 2 Kings 23, the Sodomites' houses was right next to the temple. The Babylonian Talmud, if you want to read from, these are certified copies because I am a notary. Babylonian Talmud. You want to read how apostate these people get? The Nida says, a girl of the age of 3 years and one day may be betrothed by intercourse. If one is younger than this age, intercourse with her is like putting a finger in the eye. Our rabbis taught a girl the age of 3 years may be betrothed by intercourse. And then objection was raised, a girl of the age of 3 years and even one of the day of 2 years and one day may be betrothed by intercourse. The rabbi said, only one who is 3 years and one day old. It says, if one is younger than this age, intercourse with her is like putting a finger in the eye. And what does that mean? Well, the footnote on that one says, as tears come to the eyes again and again, so does virginity come back to the little girl under 3 years. Rather perverted, aren't they? Is this going on in America? Mark it down. Mark it down. As far as pederasty goes, and I had to look on the dictionary on that word. Pederasty is another word for pedophilia, sodomy with a child. It says in Sanhedrin, whence do I know that pederasty is punished by stoning? Our rabbis taught, if a man lie also with a mankind as lyings of a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. A man excludes a minor that lieth also with mankind. That's how perverted these people are getting as far as the apostate Jews getting high up, and that's also going in with the New Age movement getting high up. And that's why Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:6, whosoever's offended a little child, let him be thrown in the depths of the sea. There's no new thing under the sun. And that stuff is still going on today. That's why in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, that book right there calls Israel, or calls Jerusalem, Sodom and Egypt. Where did they get this from? The Babylonian Talmud. Where did they get that from? Babylon. These people are so perverted that they believe that they get power through the innocence of a little child. By the perversion of the innocence of the little child. And I'm not going to get into how perverted they get with these things. Now, as far as the nation of Israel, the exaltation of the believing Israel. Prior to the rapture, any Jew can come to Jesus Christ and get saved. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So prior to the rapture, once that Jew, if a Jewish man or a woman comes to Jesus Christ, then there's neither Jew nor Greek in Jesus Christ, and they're getting out of here once they hit the rapture. After the rapture, Romans 9 verse 27, there's a promise that there is a remnant that's going to be saved. Romans 9:27. The thing about that remnant, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that remnant will be persecuted by Satan directly. Revelation 12:17. As Job was persecuted by the devil directly, this remnant is going to be persecuted by Satan directly. Revelation 12, verse 17. But they are followers of the law. They're waiting for that red heifer. They're waiting for the temple to be rebuilt. They're waiting to get that thing on Temple Mount. And once that rapture occurs, I don't know if they're going to start building a temple before or after the rapture, and I don't know if all the trouble is going to start before or after the rapture. But once that rapture hits, now the doctrine reverts back to Old Testament salvation. See, there's where all these people ignore. They ignore the mysteries. They ignore the dispensations. And so it goes back to that, and that Jew is going to have to run for his life. And his belief has got to be in Jesus Christ. If you would, look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. He's going to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 24. They're going to be snookered for the first 3.5 years, because Matthew 24 says that the Antichrist is going to be false Christ, and it says that possibly even the elect might be deceived. You know, it didn't say it just like that, but there's a chance that it gets real close to deceiving the elect. The 144,000. But Hebrews 12, verse 24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, first coming, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Second coming. That Jew is in danger of losing his salvation. He's in danger of being cut off like the Old Testament. Aren't you glad you got eternal security in Jesus Christ? Man, oh man. Now we can't be cut off as far as our soul, but our mind can be taken from us. You want to experience that? Deal with some British Israelites. Now that covenant, according to Psalms 105, is called an everlasting covenant. Psalms 105, verse 9 through 11. Last time I checked, that's a long time. That's an everlasting, it has a beginning. It began with Abraham. It's got no end. Eternal covenant is something no beginning, no ending. This is an everlasting because it had a beginning with Abraham, but it's got no end. And that goes with Abraham and his descendants. Now here's Paul warning to us here. Where's apostate Christianity going today? The same stinking, rotten route that apostate Israel went to. They're all going back to Alexandria. And what are they going to do back to Alexandria? They're going to get perverted, because Jesus Christ said the ones that seek after signs are a wicked and adulterous generation. And if you're going to find that in churches today, go to any charismatic church. Looking for signs. Apostate Christianity is following the same cotton-picking road that the Israelites have followed. And what's going to happen to them? Romans chapter 11, they're going to get blinded. And that's basically what Romans 11 is all about. It is warning you and I, especially in this age, you better not boast against the branches.
Right.
Romans chapter 8, I'm 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 18. He says, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. But thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, the idea here, as far as the context, the cut off is being blinded as an individual. We have eternal security, but we can still be blinded. You want to see a blind church in this Bible? Look in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. How about Laodicea? What's the church age we're sitting in? Laodicea. And what did the Lord say about Laodicea? Revelation 3, verse 17. Here's what they say about themselves. And you could probably hear an apostate Jew say the same thing. I am rich and increased with goods. I did it through the banking cartel. I got people to exchange something for me, and they had to pay it back, but I didn't have to pay it back.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, was it Andrew Jackson said it and Henry Ford said it? Both these guys said this similar statement. If Americans understood the banking system, they'd have a revolution the next morning.
That's right, brother.
If they understood it. But here in Revelation 3, he says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They need a Savior. And he says, and knowest not, and here's what the Lord said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Paul's warning to us in Romans 11 is the same warning that I'm heeding this morning, is that you and I better keep our faith in the Messiah of Israel.
That's right.
That's how we got saved.
That's right.
Coming to the Messiah of Israel. John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. Not only that, we should believe the manuscripts and the Bible that comes from Israel.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and that's that blessed book right there. That old King James Bible. We better keep a book that has a Jewish name on that cover. James.
Amen.
That James, that's the English translation from Greek to English, and in the Old Testament from Hebrew into English, the word is Jacob.
That's
Jacobites. And if we're going to try to, if we want to continue to study this blessed book, Psalms 122 still says we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they that pray for them are prosper. Prosper, we're going to prosper spiritually. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. And when you deal with the British Israelite, get those verses down pat about a Hebrew, a Jew, and Israelites all the same. And beware, because they're slick. Show them what this book says, and you're going to find out that you know more than they do about that book, and you're going to find out they are madly in love with themselves. They're conceited. Don't boast against the branches. Believe that book. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to obviously understand and know the apostates. Apostate Israel, apostate Christianity. Same thing going on. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We need to expose sin. Preach against it, but at the same time, Lord, we still pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for that remnant there in Israel. We pray that you'd open their eyes to the truth. And Lord, I know you have a remnant set up, an election set up for your timing, for the tribulation and everything. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us as born-again believers, that we would honor the heritage of this great book. You are our Savior and our blessed book that you've given us. Thank you for this blessed book. And help us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and help us not boast against the branches. And when we come across folks that have abandoned the mystery of the blindness of Israel, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us do what we can to enlighten these people and warn them of their blindness. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to go ahead and have the instruments play. If you want to use the altar, it's open for you. If you want to make just make it a time where you publicly want to make this church a membership, we can do that now too.